The one attribute, the one virtue that separates us when we're successful versus failure is not getting the lucky break. It's not being born into the right family. It's not having the right parents. It's not having the right opportunities. The main thing, the critical factor that differentiates success from failure is perseverance. It's that willingness, that steadfastness to overcome obstacles, barriers, hindrances, anything that stands in your way from accomplishing, from achieving that thing that God has placed on your heart, that dream, that vision, that hope that says, no matter what is standing in my way, I am going to endure. I'm going to persevere. I'm not just going to say I want this. I'm not just going to tell people I want success. I am going to do what's necessary in order to accomplish success, regardless of what's standing in my way. So it goes deeper than emotion. You've probably seen people like this who make this great declaration about something. I'm going to be this. I'm going to accomplish that. I'm going to build such and such. And they're all emotional about it. And that's great, but the problem is once the pain of enduring is greater than the emotion of wanting that success, then the scale tips and we throw up our hands and give up. So it goes deeper than emotion. It's deep in the core of who we are. It's something that says, I can't shrug this off. I can't ignore it. I can't look past it. It's this deep gnawing hunger, this deep thirst within us. It's why Jesus says in Matthew 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, they shall be filled. There's something deep inside of you that says, I desire this more than anything else. I'm gonna persevere, I'm gonna endure, I'm gonna push through in order to get accomplished, grab hold of that thing in my life. So we're in this series on the patient acquisition of virtue. How do we add virtue to our faith, which is what the scriptures tell us? To your faith, add virtue. So last week we talked about integrity, that we need to be people who have integrity, because integrity is gritty and it helps us through. It helps us to stay true to who God's called us to. Well, this morning we want to look at the virtue of perseverance. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. I just want to read a couple verses there. Paul is writing to Christians and he says, we know that suffering produces perseverance or endurance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope will not disappoint us. For some of you, you may be in a time where you're persevering, where you're enduring, where you are holding on with everything in you, and you feel like, I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I can continue. It feels like this is never going to end. I pray that today God's word would pour into you a hope, a strength, an ability to say, I want to find a way to endure even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, that I can persevere even when I'm facing the potential lifelong challenge of raising a child with special needs, that I can persevere in the face of a chronic illness that never seems to have an end in sight. The doctors can't do anything, nothing has helped. That I would be able to keep going, keep walking, to persevere when the easiest thing to do is to walk away, to give up and to let go. So what I want to do this morning is look at a story from the Bible that illustrates to us the importance of persevering. So let me give you a little background. We're going to read a story from the book of Joshua in chapter 6. But let me give you a little background in case you're not familiar with the whole biblical story and what's happening at this moment in history. So God's chosen people are the Jewish people, the Israelites. And their forefathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And centuries earlier, God had promised to Abraham this piece of land, which is known as modern day Israel. But he said, I promise this to you. I covenant this to you. This is yours. And then through a series of events, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons and they grew and they ended up in Egypt, not in the promised land. They ended up in Egypt. And God told them this was going to happen. And they were there for 400 years. 400 years. And during that time, they ended up becoming slaves to the Egyptians. But God said, I made a promise to you, and I'm not a man that I should lie. And so that land, which they referred to as the promised land, was still theirs. They just hadn't grabbed hold of it yet. So after 400 years or more in Egypt, God sends the great deliverer, Moses. So Moses comes and he goes to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He says, let God's people go. Pharaoh wouldn't. God shows his great power. And eventually Pharaoh lets the people go. And off they go toward the promised land. And they get there. They get right to the edge of the promised land. But now people begin to doubt God. They don't trust him. They say, maybe we can't really get what God promised. We can't receive what God promised. Even though the land looks really good, the people in the land are terrifying to us. And so God said, fine, if you don't want the land, I won't give you the land. I'll give it to your sons and your daughters. So for 40 years, they wander in the wilderness until that generation dies off, the generation that wouldn't trust God. And the next generation comes and God says, now you can possess the promised land. You can step into it. Now Moses at that point has died. And so God sends Moses' successor, a man named Joshua. And Joshua says, all right, God is going to give us the promised land now. After 400 years of slavery, 40 years of wandering, now is the time. So God prepares the people. They cross over the Jordan River. And as they're standing on the edge of the promised land, there's a city named Jericho. And Jericho stands between them and the promise. And that's where we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to read selected verses between verse 2 and 20. So if you have your Bibles, you can do your best to follow along. If not, it will be up on the screen. But I'm going to ask, would you stand in honoring as I read God's word as I read here this morning? Joshua 6, verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Now remember that. We're going to come back to that. I have delivered Jericho into your hands, only he hasn't delivered Jericho into their hands. Jericho is not in their hands. God is speaking to those things that are not as if they were. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the 7 priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout and the wall of the city will collapse. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 arks went forward, blowing their trumpets. The army, the armed guard marched ahead of the priests and the rear guard followed the ark. But Joshua commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voice. Do not even speak a word until the day I tell you to shout. So they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they marched around the city 7 times. After the 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout! And when the army gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I'm asking, if we're in a time and in a season in our lives right now where we're needing to endure, where we're needing to persevere, where we're up against it and we're tired and it's hard, God, I pray that you would use this time, use this word, use your word to pour truth into our hearts like concrete to our souls, that it would strengthen us and allow us to continue. For those of us who don't need that perseverance right now, in this moment, we're not in a time of trial, of suffering, of difficulty. God, I pray that these truths would be formed in us as a bedrock so that when the times of suffering come, and they will come, God, we would have a foundation on which to stand on because we would have the character formed in us so that we would have our hope firmly anchored to you. And if our hope is in you, we will not be disappointed. We pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. So you've got this group of people and they're told, start walking around the city. Now, I've told you other times when we read Bible stories and we know how they end, we tend to read the end into the beginning of the story. So we say, I know how the story ends. The wall collapses. So when they're walking around, it's easy. It's like a worship, you know, it's like a worship concert. They're just excited. The trumpets are blowing. This is great. This is going to happen. But you have to realize they didn't see that. Joshua says the walls are going to collapse. And they're going, hey, don't know about that. If you say so. So as they're walking around, what if they had stopped after 2 days? Like, Joshua, nothing's happened. Not a tremor, not an earthquake, not a pebble has fallen. Nothing's happened. What if after 4 days they tapped out? What if the sixth lap on the seventh day they said no more? We don't want this. You have to remember, this is a group of people who have personally waited 40 plus years. And it's a group of people who generationally have waited 400 plus years for this moment. They've waited, they've wondered, they've wandered through the desert, and they've thought, is the promised land really as great as we think it is? Is it as good as we hope it is? And so they're wondering and they're waiting. And what they see is this wall. They see this wall in front of them. And they wonder, is this going to work? And that's how it is with us sometimes. Here you are. And you're believing God. God, would you do something miraculous in this situation? And you're wondering and you're waiting. God, are you going to? I mean, God, I need you to do something. My kid, my child, this person that I love is in bondage and addiction to drugs or alcohol. My spouse has been unfaithful. My business partner lied to me and embezzled, and it's going to cost us bankruptcy. My finances are upside down. And we're walking around a wall in our lives. And we go, is this going to matter? I don't know if I can keep going. I am so discouraged. I'm so frustrated. I don't know if this is worth it. And then we hear the stories of other people, and we hear their victories, and we see their success. And we say, they had it easy. They got the breaks. They were fortunate. What you don't see and I don't see is the pain behind their story. We don't know the story behind their story. We don't know the sacrifice. We don't know the things that they had to endure, the personal pain and the personal sacrifice. Because when it comes to perseverance, here's what I know. Perseverance always, always, always has a price. What we see is the end result, and we say they had it easy, but we have no idea what they had to endure, and people have no idea what you need to endure, and you may not have any idea what you're going to need to endure, but when you say, I am going to be a person who endures, who perseveres, who goes through it no matter what, because I know if I do, something will be formed in me. Character will be formed in me. And when character is formed in me, then I can have hope. And hope will not disappoint. Now, please hear me. I believe in the miracle working power of God. I believe in healing. I believe in deliverance. I believe God moves in supernatural ways. I believe he answers prayers. But the greater reality is not that we have hope that the walls are going to fall. The greatest hope that we have is in the one who can make the walls fall. So when character is formed in you and you have hope and hope that won't disappoint, it's because you're no longer hoping just for the miracle. You're hoping in the one who does the miracle, and he'll never disappoint you. And so we have to get to the point where we say, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to endure. I'm going to keep going. And I'm not going to just shrug it off and say, I didn't get it because I didn't have it easy. They got it because they had it easy. How many people here have ever played sports? Okay, put your hands down because now I don't want to embarrass you. Just about everyone who ever puts their hand up, deep down inside in the places they don't want to admit, says, I could have made it pro. Could have made it pro. As a golfer, where's my golfers? As a basketball, as a soccer player, as a baseball player, as a water boy, I could have made it to the pro level if I just had the opportunity. Now listen, first of all, you're probably not athletic enough to have made it. Second of all, Most of you never put the work in to even try. You showed up on game day and you never hit the weight room. You never studied the playbook. You never watched the game film. You never put in extra time at the range. You never hired a coach. You never did the personal trainer. You didn't sacrifice time playing games. You didn't sacrifice parties with friends. You didn't sacrifice a lot of things. You didn't have the willingness to persevere through the pain and the suffering in order to get the payoff of the pros or college. I was never recruited. If a recruiter had come and seen me, seen you what? You weren't doing the work. There's nothing to see. You're just, you're Uncle Rico. All right, somebody's seen Napoleon Dynamite. Thank God. Somebody, I love it. Right? But whatever it is, I could have been an author. I could have been famous. I could have been a singer. You name it. We all think we could have if we just had the break. But the reality is most of us never put the effort in. We never persevered. We never endured. We never had that willingness to say, I will sacrifice whatever it takes to get there. Why is it that it's so hard for us to endure, to persevere, to go through those hard times? Why is it easier for us to give up and to quit and to let go and to find the path of least resistance? Well, in this story, I believe it shows us two reasons. And here's the first one. And it's this. Your perspective is limited. One reason that we quit, one reason that we tap out, one reason that we stop after the fourth day, one reason we stop after the sixth lap on the seventh day is because our perspective is limited. All we see is the walls. See, Jericho wasn't a huge city as we would consider a huge city. If you were to walk around the city as an individual at that time, it would probably take you, give or take, about an hour to make a complete circuit around the city. It wasn't a huge city. I think 16 acres in total size. Now, to be sure, you have thousands of people walking around as an army. Well, the first person makes one complete circuit. By the last time the last person makes it around, it might take an extra hour, may take two and a half hours. It would take a while for that many people. But you're not talking about 3 or 4 hours of walking to make one circuit. The issue wasn't the size of the city. The issue was the size of the walls. Because the walls around Jericho were huge. They were tall. They were thick. There was actually, it was a two-walled system with kind of a built-up ramp in between of mud and dirt so that the highest wall on the inside part of the city stood so many feet above that you couldn't breach the walls. You couldn't just come in and do an invasion and bring equipment to lay siege and come over the walls. There was no way to do that. So what the people of Israel hear is that Joshua says, hey, show up, walk around this city one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times and the walls are going to fall. And they have to be thinking to themselves, really? I mean, okay. Our parents tell us about the Exodus and the plagues and the things that God did, but that was in Egypt. And there was manna from heaven, and that's fine, but that's just whatever coming down, and it's white and it's flaky, and okay. And the Jordan River was parted, but the Jordan River is not, it's not the Amazon River. I mean, it's the Jordan River. The Jordan River is nothing impressive. So it's you know, okay, great. I've never heard of city walls just falling down. Part of them had to say, from our perspective, this seems impossible. This seems impossible because all they could see was the walls standing between them and the promise, between them and what they wanted, between them and what they believed for. And it can be the same way for us. You know what it is that God's called you to. He's given you a dream. He's given you a vision. He has said, this is where I want to lead you. This is what I have for you. You know where you want to be, but all you can see is the walls. So God says, I want to help you get debt free. And you say, oh, praise God, I want to be debt free. But all I see is the bills piling up. And I don't see any hope of ever getting out of debt. Or you say, I want my family to be a family that honors God and how we speak to one another and how we treat each other and the way we interact. But all you see is a wall of mocking and unkindness and being cruel and belittling and constantly bickering with each other. And you say, I don't see it. All I see is the wall. Or you say there's a relationship in my life and it's been damaged and broken. And all I want, that the depth of who I am, is for that relationship to be fixed. But all you see is the yelling and the shouting and the blaming and the finger pointing. And all you can see is the wall because of your limited perspective. Just like the people of Israel, all they could see is the wall. But when our perspective is limited, this is what it does. It causes us to see the size of the wall instead of the power of our God. And God says, listen to me, I know the wall seems big. I know there's a huge obstacle between you and the promise. I know that there's something that's standing between you and where I've called you. But is it too big for me? See, if our perspective is ours, we say, well, yeah, because it's too big for me. Well, if your perspective is God's perspective, then your God is a small God. But if your perspective says it's limited and say, God, from my view, it's impossible, but nothing is impossible for you, then I can keep walking. I can keep enduring. I can keep persevering. If I have to go one more lap around the city, I'll go one more lap, but I won't give up. I won't stop until I see the walls drop. I won't stop until I see the walls drop. I won't stop until I see them fall down and I see the miracle happen, until I see the promise come to pass. I won't stop. That was the heart of the people of Israel. They could look from their limited perspective and see the size of the walls, but they didn't stop until they saw the walls drop. And we have to have that same point of view, that same perspective. God, I won't stop. I won't stop until it drops. Now, it said, and we read, God told Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hands. I've delivered the city into your hands. And yet, at that point, the city is still there. The walls are intact and nothing has changed. But God is speaking to those things that are not as if they were. See, God is the only one. He's the only one that can tell you what is when what is yet to be. God says, I know what is. This city is yours, but I don't see it yet. I know you don't see it yet, but it doesn't matter what you see. Will you trust what I tell you? See, God doesn't speak in human terms. Human terms would say, God says, I will give the city to you. And we'd say, that makes sense. That's proper English, but God doesn't speak English. God speaks spiritual language. And so God doesn't say, I'm going to give you the city. God says, I have given you the city. He wants us to walk in faith, to walk around the mountain, to walk around the walls, to walk around the city, to walk around the difficulty, to persevere, to endure with faith that says, God, I don't see it yet, but I believe it. I trust you. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to relent. I'm going to hold on and keep going. I'm not going to quit because you have said something about this situation. And if you said it, you're not a man that you should lie. So if you said it, then it's true. And we wrestle with this all the time. We wrestle with this about how God speaks to us about us. God says, you're loved. You say, I don't feel lovable. God says, you're of great value. You say, I feel overlooked. God says, you're an overcomer. You say, I feel defeated. God says, you are of great value. You say, I feel like I'm broken and wounded. God says, you're a man of faith. You say, I feel faithless. God says, you're a woman of valor. And you say, I feel afraid. God says, stop telling me what you feel and believe what you are. But we just go, well, it's what I feel. It's what I see. My limited perspective tells me there's big walls there. And if there's big walls there, that must be true. But what's more true, what you see or what God says? Most of us would say, what I see. We know the right answer, what God says. But look how you live. Do you really believe what God says? Or do you base how you live on your perspective on what you see? Because you can't see it. See, our perspective shows us what is, but God knows the beginning from the end. And he says, this is what is going to happen. But you can't quit. You can't stop until you see the walls drop. And when you do, when you view things from your limited perspective, you will stop short of allowing God to do all he wants to do in your heart, in your life, through you and in you, because he wants to form character in you and he wants to work through you. So Why do we find it hard to persevere? One, because we have a limited perspective. And the second reason is this, because your progress is obscured. Our progress isn't always easy to see. It isn't always apparent. Sometimes it's kind of lost in the reality of life. So here they are. Joshua just start walking. So they get up and they walk and they make a circuit around the city, and it's day one and nothing happens. And it's day two and nothing happens. And it's day four and nothing happens. And it's day six and nothing happens. And it's day seven and it's lap one and it's lap four and it's lap six and nothing has happened. And they say, maybe we've missed it. Maybe Joshua's lost his mind. Because nothing, don't you think it would have been helpful if God had said, all right, here's what we're gonna do, people. I wanna build your faith. See, God doesn't wanna build our faith. He wants us to be faithful. But let's just say God says, I wanna build your faith. So here's what I'm gonna do. You make a lap around the city, and after the first day, you're gonna see a bunch of stones removed. And you'll see the foundation getting weak. And you do the second day, and there'll be some more gone. And the third day, so that by the time you get to the last day, you're like, oh, I can see what's gonna happen. Wouldn't that be better? I mean, wouldn't it be, man, the first day was good. Second, I mean, by the seventh day, you'd be like, yeah. Right? The first day you go around, there's a little tremor. You go, what was that? Second day, it's a little bit more. By the seventh day, you're like, oh, man, God's going to shake the foundation of the earth and that wall's just going to collapse. I mean, what if on the first day, you know, an angel or 100 angels show up? You go, yeah. Second day, another 100. Oh, I mean, by the you start doing the math, you're like, man, this is going to be we're going to wipe them out. I mean, every day. What if it was like a video game? Right, with a health meter. And like you just see God's power getting higher and higher. Oh, look at that. Man, we make another lap in his health. And look at the enemies, the big boss. I mean, their health meter's going down. Wouldn't that be useful? Or am I the only one? But God says, I'm not gonna do any of that. I just want you to walk. I just want you to keep going. I want you to keep moving. I want you to keep going around, even though you don't see progress. And that's what's so difficult. Because we don't see it. It's called faith. If God just wanted to build our faith, he'd give us these little things all the time. But he says, I want you to be faithful, not dependent upon seeing me to do something that's going to keep you going. Because if I have to do something to keep you going, well, when I stop doing it, you stop going. But if you'll keep going, if you'll persevere, it will form character in you. And that character will be confident in me. It will give you hope. And if you have hope in me, you'll not be disappointed. So what does that tell us? It tells us this. God often does something in you before he does something for you. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep persevering. Do another lap. Don't stop. But I'm tired. I know. Keep going. I don't see anything. I know, but don't stop. It doesn't make sense. That's fine. Just don't stop. Keep going. One more day. Another lap. Trust me. But nothing's happening. We're wasting time. We're going nowhere fast. I think I'm on the wrong path. No. Keep going. Don't quit. Persevere. It's so hard to persevere when we don't see anything because we find ourselves frustrated. Listen, if God says to you, I want you to wait until I bring this perfect person into your life, the one that I've handpicked for you, he or she will be the perfect complement to who you are in their personality, in their spirit, in their soul. It's everything that I've designed for you. And you say, how long do I have to wait? And he says, just keep walking. It gets hard. It gets difficult. When you're 25, when you're 29, when you're 32, yeah, maybe I need to figure out where that person is and I got to go find them on my own and I'm going to make it happen because I think I missed God. And if I missed God, then maybe I missed the person back there. And so I'm going to do a U-turn and I'm going to go find them. But it's so much easier if God says, I want you to wait. I want you to wait 6 years, 3 months, 27 hours, and 23 seconds. And at that moment, when you are sitting in church in a praise, you're going to notice a tremor in the spiritual world. And you're going to turn your head and you're going to glance at those back doors. And in will walk the love of your life. You'll say, I'll wait. I can do it. It's much easier to endure when you see something happening. It's much easier to persevere through your spouse's depression when you see that the counseling is working, that the therapy is helping, that the drugs are making a difference, and the depression may still be there, but you see moments of health, you see moments of healing, and you say, I can make it. But when it's been years and nothing has helped, you say, I don't know if I can keep going. But I'm telling you, keep walking, keep walking. Don't stop, do another lap. Don't give up. But it's so easy for us to throw up our hands, to say, I can't do this. So I just want to talk to those of you who are going through some things right now. And you've been walking. You've been walking for a long time and you don't see anything. And you're wondering, is this ever going to happen? I'm telling you, don't quit. Sometimes you have to say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm not going to quit on my dream. I'm not going to quit on my church. I'm not going to quit on my calling. I'm not going to quit no matter what. If it takes 7 days, if it takes 7 weeks, if it takes 7 months, if it takes 7 years, or if it takes 7 decades, I'm not going to stop. Because here's the tragedy. So often when we give up, when we stop enduring, when we no longer persevere, what we don't realize is just how close we were. I was on the 6th lap on the 7th day, and I missed it. I had 1 lap to go. I was on the back half of the last lap, and I said, I can't do this anymore, and we missed it. You have to keep going. You have to keep trusting. You can't walk by faith, by sight. You have to walk by faith. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm gonna keep praying. I'm gonna keep forgiving. I'm gonna keep loving. When everybody else stops, I don't care. I'm gonna keep going. Why do you think it is Joshua told the people to, now this is the Pastor Justin paraphrase. If this offends you, please text someone else. But Joshua tells the people to shut up. Don't talk. Why? Because he knew their propensity is ours. This doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this? We're wasting time. We're not going anywhere. Sometimes you have to stop talking to yourself. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Stop questioning. Just trust. Sometimes you have to preach to yourself and shout out the other voices. You have to preach truth to yourself. I'm choosing to have faith. I'm choosing to trust. I'm choosing to walk. I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to be faithful. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how long it takes. I am choosing to trust in God over my emotions, over what I want, over what I think is best, over what makes sense to me. If this is what God called me to, I will do it. And stay at it. Don't quit. Don't stop. Listen to me. When you get to that point where you want to quit, what you need to do is this. You need to remind yourself why you started. When you're tempted to throw up your hands and say, I can't do this anymore, remind yourself, why did I start this walk to begin with? The people of Israel had to remind themselves, we started this because God promised us this land. And so we're not going to stop until we see it happen. We're going to keep going no matter what. So as I can be as honest and transparent as I can be here this morning. Right now in my life, I'm walking around a wall. And it's not a wall that I chose. It's not a wall that I wanted. But I'm walking around a wall in my life. But a long time ago, I decided something. And it echoes words recorded by Joshua earlier. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We won't stop. We won't quit. We won't tap out. We won't give up. And so now there's this wall that I'm having to walk around. And it's not a wall that I wanted. And it's not a wall that I'm walking around because I want to be popular. It's not a wall that I'm walking around because I want to be liked. It's not a wall that I'm walking around because it's the easy path. It's the wall that I'm walking around. And the reason I started walking around it is because someone that I love is lost. And someone that I love is confused. And someone that I love needs an encounter with Jesus. And I started walking around this wall for him and for them. And it's not about me. And when you're tired and you don't want to walk around that wall anymore, and when you're exhausted and you want to quit and you want to give up, remind yourself why you started walking. Because if you remind yourself, then you'll have the tenacity to continue. I started this journey and I'm not going to stop. And for some of you right now, you're discouraged. You're tired. You're weary. You're on day four, and all you can see is the walls. You're on day four, and all you can see is that nothing seems to be happening. There's been no progress. There's been no change. You haven't seen angels. You haven't seen anything. And you say, I don't know if I can keep going. Listen to me. You may be closer than you think. Keep going. One more lap. Don't you quit at six. Don't you dare tap out at two. Don't stop at four. Keep going. Don't quit on God. Don't give up on your spouse. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your future. Keep going. But I'm tired. I know. Just keep going. It's closer than you think. But I don't know if I have any more to give. Just keep going, because God wants to do something in you. He wants to create character in you so that you can have hope, so that you can have hope for that loved one who's far from Jesus, that you can have hope for that person who needs healing, so that you can have hope that even if the miracle doesn't come, even if you never see the walls fall, that you would say, I didn't stop, because my hope wasn't anchored to seeing the walls fall. My hope was anchored to Christ. And if my hope is anchored to Christ, then my hope will never disappoint me. Keep going. Don't you stop at two. Don't quit at six. Don't give up. Don't stop until you see the walls drop. And it is difficult and it's exhausting. And we're so quick to give up on those things that God has placed on our hearts. But if you'll persevere, God says, I'll do something in you. And what I do in you will help you see your, will help see you through everything. That's what we need, is that type of hope. We need that type of character. We need that type of virtue. We need to be people who persevere. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I'm asking by your Holy Spirit, if we need perseverance, if we need endurance, if we need that in our lives today, here, right now, God, would you begin to show us? God, that we wouldn't quit on you. We wouldn't quit on our future. We wouldn't quit on our children. We wouldn't give up on our calling. We wouldn't let go of our dreams. One more lap, one more day, one more moment, because it might be closer than we think. Now, for some of you, as we're just continuing to pray, you say, listen, I gave up a long time ago. I quit on God a long time ago. What you need to know is this. You may have quit on God, but he has never, ever given up on you. He's never given up on you. He loves you. He wants good things for you. You may have walked away from his goodness and his kindness. You may have shrugged off his mercy and his forgiveness. You may have broken the heart of your Heavenly Father. But his heart is still for you. God's never given up on you. He's not mad at you. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to welcome you back into his family. He's not asking you to be perfect. All he's asking you to do is believe on him, to leave your old life and follow him. And he says, if you'll do that, I'll forgive you and I'll make you new. And I will lead you on an adventure of faith that's unlike anything you've ever known. And I can't promise you that it's always going to go the way you want, but I can promise you this. If you're following him, if you love him, if you're walking in his calling, he will work all things together for your good. And that's the excitement of the adventure. That life is going to take twists and turns, but God says, I will walk through you. Well, I will walk through all of this with you, through everything. So if that's you this morning and you say, I want to give my life to Christ. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus. He came in the flesh. God made flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus lived a perfect life and died a horrible death. But 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And in his death, he took upon himself all your sins, all your mistakes, everything you've ever done wrong. And in his resurrection, he offers you eternal life. All you have to do is receive that gift. So right here this morning, God didn't bring you here this morning by accident. Even in this moment right now, he's calling to you. Accept my love. Believe in me. receive my goodness, experience my grace. If that's you this morning, you want to give your life to Christ, right where you are, just raise your hand. I want to lead us in a simple little prayer. Just raise your hand. Now, whether you raised your hand or not, you're joining us online and you're praying this prayer and you mean it, just repeat these words after me. But everyone, whether you raise your hand or not, let's just say these words together. Repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now and I give you my life. I give you my mistakes and my failures, all the ways I've messed up, and I ask you to forgive me. Take it all. And I receive new life in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I could live for you, that I could tell others about you, and that I could have the perseverance to live this life of faith until the day I leave this earth and I hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. God, until then, be my leader. Be my Lord and be my Savior. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to God's family. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor when we wrap up this morning. Please come forward, talk to someone, or find me out in the lobby. We want to help you take your next steps in faith in Jesus Christ. But now, if everyone would stand to their feet, let's just turn our hearts to the Lord in worship. Turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. If you're struggling with something, if you're going through something, if you're needing that perseverance, that endurance right now, as we sing this song, let's just turn our attention and remind ourselves that God's with us through everything. Let's worship Him now together.